What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to the only podcast that covers our schools, our sports teams, and our community at large. We are the 562.org, and this show is part of our partnership with the Long Beach Post. I'm JJ, and Mike's going to join us in just a second because we got a special episode coming for you this week, an extended conversation with local volleyball coach Carlos Persino. As a player, he won the bronze medal with Team USA at the Barcelona Olympics, and as a coach, he's led some really great teams at Mizuno and Wilson over the last decade. So without further ado, let's bring him on. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me on today. Super excited to have this discussion.
Absolutely. We're actually recording this on a Tuesday, and you're going to a volleyball practice this afternoon, right?
Yeah, I have a pretty busy schedule. Club, you know, it has started. It's officially gotten the thumbs up. So we start our first practice today. Some of the teams, I think, in Orange County started last week. So yeah, we're super excited. Our girls are super excited to get out there and start to touch a ball a little bit.
You have the 15 teams at Mizuno, which, like, that group of girls lost. Did they lose a match the last 2 years? I mean, they've just been sort of dominating the country. What's that team like, and how excited are you for that team this season?
Well, let's start with, it's a little pressure on me when a team comes in and they've won two gold medals, you know, in the previous two JO. So. Yeah,
hey, don't screw it up, Coach.
Yeah, you know, pretty
because
much,
now right? You know everyone knows if they lose even one match, if they lose a set, it's all on right. The coach.
We've had one change, and it's the coach. No, so yeah, I am super, super excited to coach this team. It's got a tremendous amount of talent on there, from hitters to a tremendous amount of, probably one of the best ball control teams I've seen in a long time. I remember watching them at 13s at one of the qualifiers, and especially in pressure situations, thinking to myself, okay, let's see how good they pass now. And I was like, wow, they're still sticking the ball. They're not bringing the ball off the net. No one seemed to be getting nervous. The experience level on this team is also pretty incredible. And we've added a couple of we lost a couple players, but we've filled those in, I think, with some pretty good additions that will keep us right where we're at. You know, that's the hope and the goal.
How about at Wilson? You guys have been able to gather together a little bit, right?
Well, we were working outside. I mean, the girls did an amazing job, and we have an amazing group of kids. Due to COVID, we weren't able to have our tryouts, so we had a relatively large number. I have 75 volleyball players in the class currently.
Wow.
And so for about 5 weeks, we were going to the Wilson. You know, we have that new track there and working out there. We'd run the girl. I'd start them off running them sprints. We worked up to, I think, about 15 sprints of 100 yards with 15 seconds rest in between each sprint. And then we would do a series of curl ups, push ups, and so forth. And then they would run the bleachers for 10 minutes and then lunges and so, and just different exercises in between. And then they would do a mile around the track. And so that was our regimen for about a solid 5 weeks. And the girls really seemed to thrive in that situation, but things kind of got a little bit complicated because in my discussion with my AD, and the structure of how everything was supposed to work, we had some girls that were still tentative, not comfortable coming to school due to the COVID, which is understandable. And so I was required also to provide a similar workout for them while they were at home. And, you know, we don't have the greatest Wi-Fi at Wilson, you know? So, I mean, trying to do something live or, you know, streaming and so forth made it just almost impossible, you know, and it was almost becoming like a double job for me to do it in that fashion. And we resulted back into just doing Zoom. When we realized that we had another little setback, we just started doing Zoom workouts. And I know that the kids aren't happy with it, but, you know, we did a Zoom meeting a while ago, and we used a little poll there, and I was asking them questions because, you know, as intense and as great as those workouts were, my question was, now club is starting. Are you going to want to do those workouts 2-3 times a week while you have club? You know, then I'm going to have people going, well, I got practice in an hour. Or I go, some of the seniors have practice, you know, right, like almost during our meeting time. It was just so many different variables that are thrown at us that I just kind of said, you know what? everybody's supposed to be here during class time. We're just going to keep it simple now until we hear we can go in the gym. We can go in the gym, then we're heading in there. We're going full steam.
So you obviously talked a lot with your team at Wilson about all of that. Do you plan on talking to your Mizuno team tonight about the uncertainty and all of these delays?
Yeah, you know, it's a little different, I think, with club, because I know that I have a lot of beach players that have been playing. I know that there's been a lot of girls that have been doing a lot of private lessons. So they've been getting into the gym and touching a ball. But yeah, you know, I mean, we just, you know, Joy just had a meeting the other day, and that was my question I posed to her is, you know, normally as a coach, especially a coach who's coached 20 years, you kind of have, you know, an answer almost for every situation now after all this experience. But now with the COVID, what are we going to do when girls have a volleyball tournament and they have practice for high school that day, or vice versa, a volleyball match at high school and practice for their club? I mean, I'm able to manipulate my schedule because I can, you know, dictate the times at which I go, you know, but that's not to say that these kids can do that. You know, like if I tried to manipulate our schedule so it matches, say, the Moore League schedule, and we don't have practices on our Tuesday, Thursday matches, that doesn't benefit someone who's playing in the Seaview League, you know, because their schedule might be different.
Wednesday, Friday or something.
Right, right, Wednesday or Fridays. And then I had a couple girls that have sent me information like, hey, I signed up for a beach tournament long ago and this and that, you know. So, you know, my question I pose to Joy is, are we giving them a consequence? And when I say consequence in the form of if they miss a practice, like, or will they sit a game, you know, and so forth. And she kind of deflected a little bit, and she said, well, we'll make it every coach. We'll have to make their own, you know, decision on the situation, you know. And I'm right now I'm thinking about posing it in a way that, you know, if you're showing you're giving me 100% effort every day and you have to miss, I'm probably not going to give you a consequence. But if you're someone, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one.
It does. And I mean, every single sport is going through this, but obviously, especially the club dominated sports, like, you know, your volleyballs and soccers and softballs going to feel a little bit more heavily than say football. Right. I mean, it does put you, and I'm sure a number of other coaches, in sort of an awkward spot, because you've got kids on your team who play for other, who play for rivals of your high school. So, you know, what do you say to those kids? Well, if you go play for the high school on Thursday, you know, I'm going to bench you for this tournament in front of a college coach on Saturday. I mean, it's just, it feels like it's going to be awkward and uncomfortable and sort of difficult to navigate for everyone, for the kids and for, you know, teachers. And you obviously are seeing it as both a high school coach and a club coach, but it's safe to say we will never have seen anything like what we're all going to be getting this sports season, you know, especially if the high schools are able to get it going, obviously.
Yeah, it's definitely I tell you, I think all the private schools, they seem to have a little bit more control of what goes on in their high school. You know, like the kids are a little more fearful, you know, and I, you know, here at Wilson, you know, we go by the book, you know. I can't punish someone for something like that, you know, so. Or give them a consequence, nor would I. That's just not my intention.
Of course.
I'll just put that out there, though.
It is definitely different. But I mean, I think one of the things that's going to be so hard about this year is you have all this stuff stacked directly on top of each other that usually there's a little breathing room, right? The public and private high schools, they're separate. They do come together for the, you know, but for playoffs and everything else. But the rules can sort of be evenly enforced. And then club is at a different sort of time of the year. And now I was talking to the dad of one of your former players, one of the Poly players, Adanya Famuina. I was talking to her dad about that. Like, you know, these kids are in a situation where they're simultaneously doing stuff they've never had to do before. Yeah. And there's no, you know, he's happy that the club structure exists because kids can opt into that. There's no public school responsibility, like you just said. If someone on Mizuno says, I'm not comfortable coming in person, you and Joy say, sounds good. I totally understand. Sounds good. But that doesn't change what you're doing. Right. You just say, well, this is what we're doing here. Right. You're sort of a customer. Right. If you want to come to the business, come to the business. Whereas the high schools for public and private is completely different than that. And I, you know, I don't really have a question for you. I'm just noting that it's going to be totally bizarre.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's, it is. It is. It's a very, very, there's a lot of moving parts. And even yesterday, I felt, pressure isn't the right word, but I felt like I needed to solidify my high school schedule. And, you know, the big question mark for me was how many tournaments am I going to play in? The more tournaments I play in, the more likely I'm going to have a conflict at some point, you know, and I just, you know, the club season came out. And now the one thing I kind of didn't take into complete consideration was the travel tournaments, because I was like, we're flying? What? We're going to fly? I didn't think that was even going to happen, to be honest with you. But now, like, there's three other tournaments, and now I have to look, you know, three tournaments with, I'm coaching two club teams, right? So that's a total of six more tournaments, six more weekends, you know, that I got to make sure that I don't have conflicts, you know, so.
And then on top of that, that's assuming that you set the schedule and it all goes as it's normally supposed to go. Right. Nothing's rescheduled, nothing's postponed, right. Nothing's canceled. And obviously that has been the norm over the last 7 months. You know, it's been more likely than not that something gets disrupted. So.
Well, and here's the thing that no one's talking about too with these club tournaments, is just that, you know, the players leave on Thursday or Friday. It's not like they're leaving on Saturday and fly out to, you know, Spokane and play Sunday and then come back. You know, it's like you're losing two weekdays there too, you know? So that becomes a problem. It makes it very difficult for a coach, because now you really have to have people set in place to take over what you're doing there, you know?
So Mike just mentioned Danya Faumuina, and you and I were talking about her and Riley McGinnis and that Mizuno team that you coached 2 years ago when they were freshmen at Long Beach Poly, because they're actually our next installment in our top 10 Long Beach youth sports teams of the last decade. So coach, when I was talking to you and founder of Mizuno, Joy McKenzie Fuhrbringer, about that team, you both brought up the fact that the parents were very important, and not so much the parents of the star players, but the parents of the kids who didn't get to play as much.
Yeah, no, I really believe that, you know, I've coached many teams, and through the years, one of the things that, you know, there's a couple of things that will destroy a team really quickly. And that is if kids don't show up and if kids come in with poor attitudes. And part of it is the coach's job is to create a culture where kids feel that they have opportunities. And part of that entails coaches communicating with parents and being completely transparent with, you know, your given situation based on what you see as a team. You have to, every kid has to feel that they're part of something in order to, you know, to engage and really to be motivated to give their all for you, you know, and part of that is bringing the parents in. And we've had some amazing parents, you know, and I've, you know, what I do at the start of every year is, you know, I sit down and I talk to every one of my parents, you know, but I explain to them exactly what I see, exactly how I see or envision their kids getting their opportunities, but what they need to do in order to accomplish it. I never want a parent or a player to walk off the court or to walk out of a practice or whatever and say, I don't understand why I'm not in. I don't understand what I need to do to be on the court. And it's through that communication, I think that you know, you get the parents' buy-in, you know. But the other thing too is I will over and over communicate to my parents that I care about every one of my kids, every one of them. And I will, you know, I'm always looking for opportunities. When I explain it to them like this, I go, if we're ranked number one and we're playing number two or number three, I got to put the best team I possibly can in on the court to win. Don't think I'm not thinking about your daughter just because she might not fall in that lineup. I'm always thinking about trying to get people opportunities to get in and give them opportunities to prove themselves, you know, and with that comes discussions after the game. A lot of coaches will focus on that starting six or seven that are on the court, where I think I kind of look more at the players that aren't. Because I think if you get that buy-in, they work hard, it raises the level of everybody else's. You know, the best teams I've had are teams, like a lot of people go, oh, we only want 11 on our team or 10 people on our team because of the playing time. I go, no, the best teams are the teams who have 13 and 14 where you can scrimmage and kids can see that they're getting opportunities to get in and they see why they're not in. And if they understand, like, hey, this kid is better than me right now, they have a choice. They could either work hard and try to raise their level, right? Or they can work hard and try to help the team, okay? And with both, you still get playing time, you know what I mean? By showing that kind of attitude and work ethic, you know? But like I said, it's a big part of making the kid feel a part of something, making them feel invested in something and making them feel better about themselves, you know? So it is a big part of being a part of the team. Absolutely.
I've had this Moore League season scheduled on my calendar in my head for like a couple years. I mean, I think we've got three really, really good teams with you guys in that mix with Lakewood and Poly. Can you just tell us a little bit about your team this year? And I know you're really high on them. I know you're really hoping that these kids get a season this year just because you've got such a good group. But, you know, tell everyone about about that team and who you're hoping to see out on the court in a couple months.
For one, we're big. I always love when we have a big team because, you know, there's not a whole lot that can compensate for the height of a good block and hitters that are big, you know. We have
the net. They don't make the net any lower for the kids that aren't big, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like we've had, I think, a lot of, you know, it's been a learning curve for this team. We have a bunch of seniors. You know, we have Doris Chung, who was a middle. I mean, and probably one of the only kids I've ever seen come in as a freshman in the middle and convert to a setter. She worked with Debbie Green, doing private lessons for her twice a week for 2 years. And now, I mean, now it's like I kind of finally get to reap the benefit of it this year, you know, because I was watching her set and she looks really, really good. Not only that, but she can block. She just was offered, I believe, a scholarship to the Naval Academy. So yeah. So don't quote me on that. I know it was one of the academies, but I believe it was the Naval. We have Michaela Nolte, and she's a middle that's been developing. And I think this is going to be her breakout year. You know, one of the things we're looking at, she's touching pretty close to 10 foot, if not right there. She also committed, I'm going to forget this one. It's a private school up north. I'm going to think of it. I'll think of it before this
okay, that's okay.
Is over. I've been also working with her a lot. I'm watching her hitting improve, moving the ball around really well. Her blocking, her instincts are a lot better, and her understanding of the game is vastly improved. Super bright kid. Another player we have is Risa Senna, and she's been playing on the outside for a while for us, and I think that she's pretty close to committing as well. And all these girls I'm mentioning, by the way, are 6 foot and taller, and Risa provides a lot of ball control on the outside, a lot of versatility in terms of hitting on the right side. She was a middle when she was younger, but she can hit on the right, on the left very well and score for us. We also have Catherine Mum, who is also in the process of maybe committing pretty soon. I know she's been taking some flights to different schools and checking out campuses. So, and she would be another outside slash opposite, another 6 footer for us who has good ball control. So those are four seniors right there that will be returning. We also have Haley, who's been our starting libero for the past two seasons, who's going to be returning, who provides us with a lot of ball control and defense, along with great serve, probably one of the best servers I can remember at Wilson in terms of float serve. She can put the ball anywhere. Jaden is a first team all league returning setter. So we're probably going to be running a 6-2 because we need Doris to score for us and hit when she's in the front row. But Jaden returns as our setter. We have another senior, Riley, Riley White, but she will not be returning this year. She's actually committed. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting. I want to say New Mexico. Okay.
Okay.
I didn't prep myself for all these problems. You know, where everybody's going.
It's a good problem to have when your kids are committed all over the country. Yeah, I mean,
you know, and this is the 1 year, like normally I go into the, you know, at the end of the year when we sit down and we talk about each kid and I have maybe one that I talk about. This would have been the year I would have been up there. My mouth probably would have been all dry from talking about every kid for about 5 minutes. But Riley White, setter, unfortunately, she won't be returning. She's kind of doing an accelerated educational program at Wilson to try to get to college by January and start school out there. So she's on a fast track. But, you know, that's going to be a player that we're going to miss a lot because she has a lot of fight in her, a lot of fire. And I think she kind of gets the girls up and playing, you know, at another level a lot harder. We also have Kylie, who is another outside that was got a little bit of starting time, actually started against Poly, had a pretty good match last year against them, who brings a lot of physicality Probably about 5'9", but super strong and good jumper. And we have a sophomore that started to get playing time at the end. I think that she's going to have a good year in Alana Smith. And yes, last year was her, well, she got part of a club season. She could have really benefited from being able to play the entire year, club year, but she's super athletic, really, really athletic young lady. So those are some of the players that
squad.
We have.
That's a squad.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. And we have another middle, Meredith Bond, who's another 6-footer who's going to be coming up from the JV team, and she might get some playing time and be able to help out in some and contribute in some fashion. So we'll see.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to come out there in January and cover you guys at Wilson High and then again next summer at Mizuno. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining us, Coach. Take care.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You do an amazing job. Thank you.